Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back here to Hour 2 of Faith Radio Mornings on the 12th of October. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsener, sitting in studio and having both on-air and off-air conversations with many guests and also our producers in studio, Rachel Sutton and Paul Perot. It's so fun to talk about these relevant news items and special interest topics with the people in studio, but also the guests that they book as producers from around our country. Give us a real perspective from the lens of our Christian faith, and we can talk about these things with faith and in hope. And as you know, if you listen regularly, we'll do our best to not be disciples of maybe the Fox News slant or CNN. Doesn't mean we don't watch those programs. It just means that we do want to fill our minds and our hearts with thoughts and realities from the kingdom as we start our day together here on Faith Radio Mornings. And of course, some of you have been texting already throughout the morning. It certainly is fun to hear from you and comments and questions and thoughts. And please feel free at any time during the morning if you want to follow up with a comment from one of our guests or a question for our guests. You can get in touch with us here in studio by phone call or text at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And certainly enjoyed our conversation, as always, with Dr. Gary Stratton at the end of last hour, where we were talking quite a bit about centering prayer and just doing a life of prayer with God as we do our journey each day. And Gary referenced a monastic person by the name of Brother Lawrence, who talked a lot about developing a life of prayer with God and constant prayer, because Gary and I were talking about praying with unceasing. This is what Brother Lawrence had to say about constant prayer. He said, "There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice it and experience it. And you need not cry out very loud, for God is nearer to us than we think." And Gary and I were talking about the idea of heaven not being a floating barge of gold just somewhere past the Andromeda galaxy that we get beamed up to when we die. But the ancient Jews really perceived heaven to be as near as our next breath. And so maybe when God spoke to Samuel in the temple, he didn't time his call for Samuel to account for the sound waves through the galaxy. He was very near to Samuel. And I think many of us can experience that nearness of God and how anchoring and centering and delightful it is to do our day that way. Well, I see on the line we already have our first guest for this hour, Christina Walker, who works for the Billy Graham Center out of Wheaton College, and very excited for the conversation with Christina. We're going to talk about what it means to lead with a shared diversity, where we don't just have maybe one leader of one ethnic group and everybody follows, but how is it that we can develop the kind of leadership that accounts for all of the differences that we walk with in life, and yet we have the shared unity of doing this journey in the kingdom. Should be a great conversation with Christina first. And then in the second half of this hour, Reverend and Dr. Raleigh Washington will be joining us, and we'll talk a little bit about his perspective on the events out of Washington, D.C. yesterday, where Kanye West joined the president. And it was kind of a surreal theatrical political moment, and I'm sure Raleigh will have some great thoughts on that as well. So it should be a great hour ahead. Stay tuned, and we'll talk with Christina Walker out of Wheaton College next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 9 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and delighted to be joined in the line by Christina Walker from Wheaton College, who works at the Billy Graham Center and does a lot of work with missional leadership and evangelism. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Peter.
So I know we wanted to call you Dr. Walker here, but it sounds like we might be a little ahead of the curve with this one. But you are actually in a doctorate program at this point. Tell us about kind of what you're studying right now. I'm always curious.
Yeah, I'm a student at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School here in the Chicago area, And I'm studying leadership and what does it mean for people to lead in a multicultural and multinational environment. It's been really exciting and fun and kind of eye-opening. I always am amazed at the things that I'm learning, even just about my own leadership, as I talk to other leaders who are in the global context.
Well, and you mentioned the global context, and certainly when I was growing up, Christina, there wasn't the global interconnectedness that there is today through the power of the internet and the ease of travel and mobility. And so we might not have had so many of these conversations about diversity within leadership and what that means, because we were maybe segmented off racially and ethnically far more so. But boy, you must be seeing a lot of the collision of cultures coming together right now, and there must be some interesting challenges and opportunities in the midst of this.
Yeah, think about all the pastors who are seeing shifting demographics in their communities, teachers who are experiencing growing ethnic diversity in their classrooms, even sales managers and business leaders who are experiencing kind of more international footprint for their company. I was even talking to my cousin the other day who's coaching his son's sports team, and he's got lots of different cultural backgrounds in the families that are participating, and so learning how to navigate that just as a volunteer leading a kid's sports team. And so it just creates an environment where we have to really learn to listen to one another. I think that's one of the great things about the Christian faith, is the invitation to put the other first and enter into every interaction with people in a humble and a patient sort of a approach. Because of all the different challenges, it's so easy to assume that somebody else isn't kind or is being difficult, when actually they're just sort of doing what would be normal in their culture. It makes sense to them. And so it creates a challenge for all of us, whether we're pastors, teachers, leaders in business, to love well as Christians and to invite them into relationship.
Well, and certainly you reference the next generation, and it's just going to be the new normal for the next generation and generations of the future, that we really will be in consistent, diverse settings. And you released a great article on Christianity Today that was titled Inclusive Leadership, What We Need to Be Effective Leaders in Today's Diverse World. And really interesting, just so you started this article with a take out of 1 Corinthians 12, in which Paul talks about the unity and the diversity within the body of Christ. And that's the tension, isn't it? That there is a diversity, but in that diversity, there is unity. What were you sort of thinking in starting the article that way? How did that passage just sort of represent the situation for you?
You know, I think as Christians, we are invited to join the body of Christ. And Paul is really clear that that means that Jews and Gentiles, in his context, that was the two that needed to figure out how to get along. But we have an even broader group of people now that we have to figure out how to get along with. And the goal isn't to assimilate into one culture. Maybe 50, 100 years ago, if you were to read theologians, they would have talked a lot about how to create a single Christian culture. The problem is it ends up being the people that are in charge that determine what that is. Today, especially, say, with theologians in South Africa, they're wrestling with what does it look like to be a Christian culture that includes all this diversity. And so 1 Corinthians really kind of presses us on that, the concept of putting others first, the concept of valuing those that we might look at and say aren't as important. And so for me, the diversity conversation, yes, it's something that's happening broadly in the business world as we wrestle with diversity and global footprint. But it also, I think, should first happen as Christians in our context, in our everyday, of what does it mean to follow Jesus well as we love our brothers and sisters who are different than us, not just across the globe, but really sometimes just across the street.
Well, and you referenced the idea that we see the word stranger show up in the biblical text. And I think hospitality, Christina, is one of those very underappreciated concepts. It's something that we don't really talk a lot about from the biblical text. And I know we're actually going to be in the United Kingdom next week, and hospitality in a place like England or Scotland means bringing out our finest china and treating each other well and talking nicely with one another. But hospitality in the biblical text is quite different in the sense that there's a stranger who might be among you, and it's not somebody you don't know, but it's somebody who might be very different than what the normal community outworking is, and how important it is to invite those strangers into our midst.
And you know, that is a hugely self-sacrificial call for us to do. It's not an easy thing to do, and that is also a difference, say, between bringing out the nice china. That's not necessarily self-sacrificing. That's actually kind of fun. At least it would have been in the house I grew up in.
Absolutely.
But to do it as a Christian, there's a self-sacrificing that has to happen, a following what Jesus demonstrates for us, which is to reach out and love in very difficult circumstances. And so that really is, yeah, like you said, the biblical concept of hospitality requires that level of really love for the other person.
Well, and I'd be curious, as we then begin to maybe do our lives together, and you reference in the article a pretty common comment that Sunday morning is so often one of the most segregated hours that we experience as believers, where we sort of go to our different churches and there's often not a lot of diversity there. But if we're going to really begin to feel sort of the tension of being in relationship together, what are some first steps to be able to say, hey, look, you're not like me, I'm not like you, we don't need to bend the arc of our lives to all be the same. How do we begin to appreciate the unity in diversity just on a Sunday morning, for example?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think maybe I'd give three different possible answers, and everybody's personality is different, so the particular method that would make sense for them might be, again, unique and diverse. But part of it is what we read, what we consume. So the next time you pick up a book, like, find something about a global context that's different than your own. My husband was reading a murder mystery from a different written by a author from a different country, and he said, wow, even the way that they think about putting together a murder mystery is different. So just begin to stretch your own understanding of what other people experience, how they think. There's a great book by James Pluteman called Leading Across Culture that I think is super helpful. He was a missionary with SIM in Africa for years, and just really great practical stuff in that book. Another thing that we can do is sort of begin to examine our heart, and this is something as Christians we want to do all the time. But even just beginning to notice our attitude when we walk into a Sunday morning and we see people that are different, or we don't see people that are different, to begin to say, you know, how's my attitude about that? What do I think about that? Does my heart break for the fact that there's no difference? Or if there is difference, do I feel uncomfortable and awkward? And that's back to that kind of humility that's required to deal well with diversity, to love across difference. And then maybe even just, you know, some basic intercultural competency skills. This is something that is missing in our political climate, and that is the pausing and listening to say, what are you really saying? What is it that's really being communicated? Not that I necessarily have to agree with you, right? The goal of diversity is not for everybody to agree, but to understand and assume you kind of your best intention and your context. That right there goes a long way to beginning a conversation that might be very difficult to have otherwise. And in some senses, that is what hospitality is, inviting the other person in, just in a conversation. It's a great place to start.
We're having a great conversation with Christina Walker of Wheaton College, who also works at the Billy Graham Center and does a lot of work with diversity and leadership. And Christina, when we come back from break, I would love to get your take on what you've experienced in terms of your research and maybe your actual experience in some overseas leadership. And as people go overseas and begin to share the gospel, that the gospel can sound and look very different in different cultures. And maybe the invitation isn't to become sort of a white gospel, but what does it mean to have a contextual gospel where it stays anchored to the truth and yet sounds a bit different in different cultures? So it should be a great conversation with Christina Walker here next on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. We're having a fun and insightful conversation with almost doctor, near doctor, Christina Walker from Wheaton College. Does a lot of work with academic programs there and the Billy Graham Center and Missions and Leadership. So, Christina, if you can finish this doctorate, are we talking 2 years away, 10 years away? I mean, it almost kills you to walk through the process, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's been a journey. I hopefully, Lord willing, and everything going like planned, will be finished next December 2019, so a little over a year.
Oh, that'll be a great celebration, I'm sure. Well, I appreciate you joining us on the show. I know the idea of diversity and leadership is going to be front and central for many generations ahead, I think, as our world has become more connected. It doesn't feel like we have words like exotic, which just tends to mean different from me. There's really not so much of that happening. You know, missions maybe a generation ago felt like you were going to untapped, uncharted places. But as we've become more connected, is the invitation in this that there's only one way to express the gospel? Or are we talking about sort of a contextualization where the gospel really plays itself out differently in different cultures, but still somehow stays anchored to the truth?
You know, we teach a class in our Masters of Evangelism Leadership program called Gospel. And it's a lot about the metaphors and models that the church has used through history to be able to talk about the gospel. Even just within scripture, you have a whole bunch of different ways that Paul and Jesus communicate the gospel. They use the example of the court of law. This is a pretty common one for us. They use the idea of a battlefield, right, being ready for war. What does it mean to win the fight against Satan? They use the example of commerce and economics, like slavery in the Roman world, becoming a free person. They use worship to talk about the gospel. Lots of different ways of thinking about this. And I'm thankful for that, because it allows us to be able to walk into a conversation and say, what is the thing that this culture already, where, how do they already represent the Spirit of God at work? Where are we joining that? And what metaphor, what model from Scripture and from the history of the church might help to speak into this? It's not that there's different gospels, but that the gospel is so amazing and beautiful and complex that there's lots of entry points. And so as a leader who wants to share the good news, to listen first and see what entry point might be the best place to start. That's a huge invitation and honestly a challenge. Again, requires a lot of listening, a lot of humility to do that.
Yeah, it really does in terms of just walking that out with other people. And I'm thinking now, Christina, of church pastors all around the Midwest, all around our country that may not ever really get involved in the global scene and are experiencing perhaps just the geographic segmentation that we so often have along racial lines. And so even if we wanted to be in relationship with one another, simple geography often keeps us separate and segmented. Do you have tips for pastors and leaders to just learn how to cross some of those geographic barriers from one another?
Yeah, I think that sort of a first step is just to begin to find one person to have a friendship with. Who in your community might be different from you in some way, and how can you begin to have a friendship with them? And that very act of doing that creates one connection that could then ultimately lead, especially if you're a pastor, to the demonstration to your church of how to do it. So showing that I am going to reach out to one person that's different than I am. You know, I actually became passionate and interested about this whole idea of diversity when I was on staff at a church in California that was multi-ethnic. And I realized, wow, I don't know how to think about spirituality from any other perspective than my own sort of box. There was a woman who was Asian American. We were talking about spiritual gifts, and we always just took the test, you know, you take a little test, and at the end it tells you what your spiritual gifts are. And she looked at me and she said, "You mean we never ask the community to speak into this?" Because from her cultural context, the community would always help you to see who you are. So even as a pastor of a church, if everybody sort of you think looks the same, there's diversity within that community. How can you begin to bring it out, to begin to say, what gifts do you have that you can bring because of your background to the body of Christ in this conversation? And I think that can happen for pastors in, you know, very diverse churches and pastors who are in maybe more homogenous churches as well.
Well, and I like that reference point that the diversity can mean a variety of relationships. It doesn't have to simply mean diversity along ethnic or racial lines. And I know in your Christianity Today article, you referenced as part of the footnote the idea that inclusion, or that word, originally represented inclusion of people with disabilities or children with disabilities. And can you speak to that a bit about the importance in a church setting that people with disabilities or children with disabilities, they're not part of the junior varsity of the faith. They're fully in with us in the kingdom. And what can that look like in a church to be all in together in that situation?
Yeah, I had a real-life example of this because one of my sisters had Down syndrome. And so getting to see how she participated in worship and how the church welcomed her. She couldn't speak. She didn't have words. So she couldn't do the traditional, like, confession of faith experience. But to watch her worship God was a beautiful thing. And So I got to witness how the church sort of came around her and said, yes, of course you're a part of us. And again, did it require a little extra work? Of course it did. And I think any parent with a child who has disability of any kind can tell you they need the body of Christ to come around them and support them. There is this, again, a sacrifice that's required to say, even if it's not convenient for us, we want to love you. We want to include you.
And that's really tricky, isn't it? Because I think for so many of us, our mindset going to church is along the lines of, I need to be ministered to. And that's very understandable. It's very difficult to walk out the other 6 days of life so often. But to at least add space in our heart in which we say, no, I'm also here to minister to other people, and I'm going to need to give on these Sunday mornings together.
Yeah, it's a different way of thinking about church than maybe sometimes we get comfortable with. It requires us to reach out. And I might even say for pastors, one of the ways to help that happen in your congregation is about shared experience. One of the things my research has shown so far is a way to help a community really be able to build when they are diverse is to find ways for them to have experiences together that are fun, where you're doing stuff and you're serving together, and you're getting to see that even somebody with a disability gets to participate. Even somebody that's different than you it has something to contribute. So creating those shared experiences can really help a community in a relaxed sort of a way figure out how to give and minister well together in the diversity.
We're speaking with Christina Walker this morning just about the importance of diversity in our faith and our lives together and in leadership as well. Christina, we'd love to have you back on and celebrate with you when that doctorate does become real. And we really appreciate just taking the time. The conversation was lovely this morning.
Thanks, Peter. I really appreciate being with you.
We'll take a break here for Breakpoint and Bottom of the Hour News. And when we come back for the second half of this hour, I'll be joined by Dr. Raleigh Washington, who is one of three recipients of the Westminster Peace Award. The other two were Desmond Tutu and Mother Teresa. And Raleigh's going to join us and talk a bit about some reactions to Conway West's visit to the White House and how we can process that as believers. You know, it's breakpoints like that that make me grateful that we have access to guests such as Christina Walker, who has been working extensively in diverse communities around this world and has done that kind of research and study, because that can lead so often to a relativistic mindset where your truth is your truth and mine is mine. And yet, how can we humbly walk towards the truth together in the midst of what is increasingly a challenging global situation? So love that conversation with her. And I'm going to be really excited to invite Raleigh Washington into the program next. We're going to talk a little bit about the Conway West situation, the African-American community, and how we can walk out this journey together outside of politics, but within the realities of politics as well. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we are joined by Ben Johnson of the Acton Institute, who has been a journalist for many years and seen a lot of things. And we talked a bit about the cake decision in the United Kingdom, where some bakers were vindicated in the sense that they didn't have to or be forced to make a cake for a gay wedding ceremony.
The Equality Commission of Northern Ireland, which sued this company, demonstrated the same kind of acrimony and bias against Christians that authorities in Colorado had against Masterpiece Cakes. So they had said, of course, we protect people from discrimination on the basis of sex and so on and of their sexual orientation in the UK. But they say we also protect them based on their religious beliefs. And the ECNI gave the impression that they had absolutely no interest in trying to protect the MacArthurs, but instead trying to make an example of them. So they found that there was sort of an acrimony which stretches across the Atlantic sphere that includes the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland and officials in Colorado and elsewhere, where wherever there is a separation between religious liberty and LGBT rights, in the words of Heif Feldblum, who was an advisor to Barack Obama, religious liberty is always trumped by LGBT rights.
Always a good conversation with Ben Johnson. He's so articulate and has a lot of wisdom to offer into these news situations. If you want to catch that entire segment, you can go to myfaithradio.com and search for Ben Johnson. Catch not just that segment, but all of his past segments as well. He does, like I said, a really good job talking through the relevant news headlines of the day from a Christian perspective. Well, I see we have Dr. Raleigh Washington on the line. And when we come back from break, Raleigh and I are going to talk a bit about the Kanye West meeting at the White House with President Trump and some of the implications in our political cycle moving forward for the African American community. Should be a great conversation next on Faith Radio Mornings.
When you're bringing up teenagers, it's all too easy to be quick on advice and long on lectures. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Man, I often get these things mixed up. I'll be lightning fast in my reprimands, especially when I'm miffed. Think about that biblical formula today. Is your first response to listen, or are you a little too eager to add your opinion to the conversation? Before you start doubting your parenting skills, take a breath. You don't need to be perfect. Just take a baby step. Choose to listen right now. By God's grace, He can make you quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
Want to bring Mark to your church or community? Find out how to request an event in your area when you visit ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
It's about 19 minutes before the top of the hour, and you are listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, and I'm not sure how many of you listening this morning caught some of the news yesterday, but it was a pretty remarkable and almost surreal event in the White House that took place as Kanye West and the former NFL player Jim Brown joined the president to talk about issues within the African-American community. And Kanye West had about a 10 to 12 minute stream of consciousness on any number of political issues, and it started just this way.
It was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman. You made a Superman. That's my favorite superhero.
And of course, Kanye was referencing a Make America Great Again hat that he wore. It caused a lot of controversy on Saturday Night Live a couple weeks ago as well. And I thought, who better to join me on the program this morning than my friend, Dr. Raleigh Washington, to help us sort of sort through what we're seeing beyond the optics and beyond the news. Good morning, Raleigh.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. It's good to be with you.
So I'm curious, did you catch some of this news conference yesterday at all or see some of the highlights from it? And if so, what was sort of your initial reaction to the whole thing?
I did see it, and it has troubled me greatly from the perspective of being an African-American and having concern with the fact that so many of my Christian African-American brothers and sisters are liberal and will vote Democratic, not based on knowledge and understanding as to what the issues are, but based on tradition more than anything else. And that's my concept of it. I did see it, and I was proud of Kanye West. He was talking to the president about criminal reform, basically, and he had some good things to say. But all of the vitriol that has followed in challenging him from CNN and MSNBC and from the liberal community and from the African-American community has everything to do with the fact that he is wearing Trump's hat, Make America Great, and perhaps indicating that he supports Trump and he voted for Trump rather than Hillary. That is the dynamic that's there. And it's, to me, it's I understand it from, say, the black community in general, because they have always voted in block fashion. During Reconstruction, black people, 95% of them voted Republican. For one reason, it was the party of Lincoln, and they voted that way, and things changed in the mid-1940s, and now it's voting that way regardless of what the dynamic is. My concern and my grief is that as a Christian, I should approach voting based on the Word of God. I should apply the Word of God to the platform of whoever is running and allow the Holy Spirit to guide me in making that choice. But I don't think that's what happens, Peter, with most of my people. I think it's a feeling level, and I think too often my race in my African-American community, my race means more to me than my faith. And that may not be intended, but that's what's coming across, and I think that's driving the train with so many of my African-American brothers and sisters. I applaud Kanye West. You know, he even said, I love Hillary, and I love Donald Trump. You know, why can't he be able to make a choice and be respected for his right to make that choice? No, he has popularity, he has recognition, and he has, to the tune of many African Americans, betrayed African Americans because he has supported Trump. That, to me, is ludicrous, and it's a problem in this day in which we are living.
Wow, it's so well said. And is some of the vitriol that you reference in this situation that may be coming from some of the media or maybe some of the political left, is it related to what you referenced earlier, that there's always been sort of this block voting among the African-American population? And during the Reconstruction era, it was towards Republicans, and it's obviously moved towards Democrat. Is there concern that Kanye West might have some legitimate things to say and may move some of the voting block the other direction that would cause the left to lose some power? I mean, boy, there's so much vitriol related to power in Washington, D.C. on both sides, right?
Absolutely. There is no question about it. When given the opportunity, certainly will speak forth. You know, I am having a meeting with my family, and because so many of them are Democrats, and I think have fallen that way. And we're going to meet so that we can really have an open talk about how Christians should approach politics, or how Christians should vote, and what place should the Word of God play in that, and what is more important, my race or my faith. And so I'm going to have that conversation with them, which is, I think, a conversation that that African-American Christians need to have across the board, because I understand the community who is driven not by the Word of God, but for those of us who are believers, the Word of God has to impact how we think and which way we vote and how we respond politically. And that's not happening as it should in the African-American community, and it's a travesty.
Now, we're talking with Raleigh Washington this morning just about the situation in Washington yesterday and the meeting between Kanye West, Jim Brown, and others and our president. And, Raleigh, when we come back for break, I would love a quick sneak preview of what you might mention to your family and get into this more about how we can apply the Word of God. I think about all of our listeners this morning that we all need to do this. It doesn't matter what the color of our skin. We all need to be thinking about how the Word of God applies to leadership in our country. So we'll talk about that next with Raleigh Washington here on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. We're having a conversation with Dr. Raleigh Washington this morning about just what happened in Washington yesterday in this afternoon meeting between the president and Kanye West and Jim Brown and others, and some of the reaction from both sides of this. And that just speaks to the bigger issue of race in our country. And Raleigh, you were talking before the break about the importance of applying the Word of God to our political decisions. And that's, how do we do that when we recognize that neither political party perfectly represents the kingdom? So how do we walk that out if we want to do that application?
Peter, when I pastored in Chicago with the Rock Church, and you know that well, about 35% of my church was white. And I discovered quickly that the majority, vast majority of the whites would vote Republican, and the vast majority of the blacks would vote a Democrat. My concern is, how can I have peace in the church? And so I decided to have a town hall meeting. We call it a Fred Ripple meeting, but it's like a town hall meeting. And I would talk politics. And the essence of what I said is it possible to vote straight Democrat and not violate the Word of God? The answer is no. Is it possible to vote straight Republican and not violate the Word of God? The answer is no. Well, it's easy to find the reasons why you violate the Word of God if you're a Democrat, because it's they are pro-abortion and they are pro-same-sex marriage. You know, two huge dynamics with that. But when you look at the Republican side, what is in their platform that violates the Scripture? Well, it's not what's in the platform, is what's missing from the platform. And what is missing from the Republican platform is a plank that demonstrates a concern for the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. In Ezekiel 16, 49, 50, and 51, it said, this is the sin of Sodom. They had arrogance, wealth, full bellies, but they didn't care for the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. The Republican approach for the poor and oppressed and the needy is, let's make businesses strong and it will trickle down. A number of years ago when Jesse Jackson was running, he got famous with his message when he called it trickle-down Reaganomics, because he said it never trickled down. So it is an issue to not address directly the concerns of the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. But then as you look at them and apply the Word of God, which parts of the plank that's present are missing that is in violation of the Word of God. Clearly, abortion is in a violation of the Word of God. Clearly, same-sex marriage and the pro-gay agenda is against the Word of God. And I believe not really supporting God's chosen people. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem is there. And that happens with the Republicans and not with the Democrats. And then when I look at the Republican side of the picture, I see things that line up with the Word of God, and I see what's missing is the poor, the pressing, and needy. Then as a Christian, I now weigh that, and I pray, Lord, here is the things that violate your Word of God on the Democratic side, and here's the thing that I think is missing on the Republican side. Well, Lord, I want to obey Caesar, as the Scripture tells me, and I want to vote. Well, for me, and I don't want to influence anybody, but for me, it was a clear balance that the negative side of violation of the Word of God is much heavier on the Democratic side. And, Peter, that literally caused me, when I left the military in 1980 as a Democrat, hadn't voted ever when I studied it and became a minister, it moved me from being a Democrat to a Republican, a conservative, because of weighing things in that nature. I believe as a Christian, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And there are some people that will have one issue that is so powerful that that issue might drive them. Well, if the Holy Spirit guides you and leads you and you feel peace and go in that direction, you can go that way. I've heard many African-American pastors say, well, my people understand that the gay agenda is wrong, and my people don't believe in abortion, but I'm concerned about the poor and the oppressed and the needy, and so I have to vote that way. Well, years ago, I gave them space to do that, but in this day and age, Peter, I can no longer give them space to do that because abortion is so prevalent in the African-American community until it's almost like genocide. So black pastors can no longer say that's not an issue. It is an issue. And the gay agenda, the LGBT community, and the same-sex marriage, you can no longer say that's not an issue that you have to deal with. I just feel as a man of God, as a Christian, as a pastor, it's just impossible for me to embrace the Democratic program as I relate to the Word of God. Now, once that decision is made and Trump has won, I believe Romans 13 says God chooses the leaders. And so God chose Trump. He also chose Obama. And, you know, when I get there, I might want to ask the Lord why, but he did choose him. What was my responsibility with Obama? I prayed for him. I was happy to see a black man win, but every decision that he made really disappointed me to the high heavens because there were the decisions that violated the Word of God. So, but what did I do? Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, honor all authority. Listen, it says, man, we're to honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In this case, honor the president. We had a reason to honor him, so I prayed, Lord, he's violating you, and Lord, change his heart. That's how I prayed for Obama. Well, for people who have problems with Trump, they should pray the same way. But this vitriol and what they're seeing and responding to him, I think, from a Christian standpoint, is in clear violation of the Word of God to dishonor and respect the office of the president. I love what Tiger Woods said when he was asked the question, what do you think about Trump and the presidency? He said, I think you have to honor the office and the person who's in the office. So that's what I'm going to share with my family in these scriptures, and I'll share them my sojourn from being a Democrat to a Republican because I feel as a man of God, I have no choice because the Word of God demands it.
Raleigh, I just that insight, and thanks for taking us on the inside of sort of your thinking around this. It's so helpful to really be thinking critically and thoughtfully about this, and appreciate you joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings just with that voice into this process. We'll take a break here and wrap up our show here for the week on Faith Radio Mornings. Great invitation from Raleigh to be thoughtful and to be prayerful, regardless of our political stripes, to be praying for our leaders and thinking through these things critically. Well, it was a great week with all of you again on Faith Radio Mornings. I will be off next week, suffering in Scotland, and my friend Neil Staven will be taking the show.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.